doesn't work in our time. God is mysterious, but the God always comes through, right? Oh, I love it. So when we are baptized, it's just a little bit of water and just a few words spoken as that water is poured. But we believe that God is present in those things. Those simple, small things are a part of that great mystery of baptism. The church teaches that baptism brings us into God's family, encourages it as the first step in a lifelong walk or journey or race or slog or whatever it feels like of faith that we walk in this world. But how can something so simple and seemingly so easy to do change our lives and bring us the Holy Spirit, God's grace, and God's forgiveness? How can God, that is so big and so mysterious to us, work in something so small? I have a distant family member whose sister chose not to have her kids baptized because they didn't go to church. But the sister's mom was very concerned about the eternal fate of her grandchildren. So she baptized the kids one night in the bathtub. So does that make a difference in their lives? Or as one of my seminary professors asked us when we were in class, if we stood on top of a Chicago skyscraper and sprayed a fire hose over the street as we shouted, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit," would those people really be baptized? Would it have any meaning in their lives? Now, I try to not sell God short because I know God works in all kinds of ways that I don't see or understand. But I do think that a big part of being baptized is spending our lives learning what that little bit of water and those few words mean for us. And God is really good at making something awesome and amazing when there's not a lot to work with. And I bet all of us could say we are an example of that at times. Our God is in the business of creating hope. Baptism brings us hope, but God has been in the hope business a long time before Jesus got sprinkled by his cousin John the Baptist. In the reading from Isaiah, God is speaking words of hope to his people who have been through hell. God had already delivered them from slavery in Egypt and made a covenant with them. He brought them through the wilderness into the land of Canaan. They became a nation and built a temple for God. For centuries, they lived there and saw military victories and defeats under kings and generals. They strayed from that covenant with God, but the prophets were sent by God to call them back. And then in the 6th century, where our reading today comes from, the unthinkable happened. Israel was defeated by the Babylonians. They destroyed God's temple. They plundered their treasure and their livelihoods. They took them into slavery again, and they marched them back to Babylon in chains. This was a complete, utter devastation of the life God's people had known for centuries. It was politically different, economically different, and certainly different when it came to religion. How could God have allowed this to happen? Had God abandoned them? Were they still God's people if they didn't have that land? We haven't known a lot of exile or defeat in our physical land, but maybe we've known it in other parts of our lives. Maybe one day we were married, and the next day we aren't, due to death or divorce. Who are we then, as we begin a new chapter that maybe we never wanted to write? Or one day we were healthy, and the next day we hear the words cancer, or tumor, or surgery. Or as most often happens, our health ebbs away, or our kids grow more independent, and our lives as we knew them change. Who are we now? It's a question that we're always asking in our lives, in good times and in bad. But in Isaiah, we hear God has a new plan for those people that have been through so much. All the suffering and pain of that suffering servant that Isaiah talks about will bring God's justice into this world. He carries God's spirit, and he will care for the hurting and the broken people of the world. As Christians, we hear about the suffering servant, and we naturally think of Jesus. The spirit, God's justice, God's teaching, definitely all sounds like Jesus. But when we get a little further in the reading, when we get to verse 6, things change a little bit. Instead of talking about just the suffering servant, God starts addressing all the people of Israel. God calls all his people to step up to help with this new plan once the suffering servant comes. God says, "I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand. I have kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness." In God, we have a new mission to be light, to go places that nobody else wants to go, but to go there holding the hand of God. This call is not easy. It's not something that we will ever finish. And as someone who gets so much satisfaction from crossing things off my to-do list, it's hard sometimes to be involved in that work. But to be called to God's work in this world, to work for justice, to open our eyes, to bring freedom and light to those in darkness, in the end, there's nothing I'd rather do with my life. What about you? I have a few questions for us to think about as we consider God's call for us in our baptisms and what that means. And I'm going to repeat them twice, so I'll go through them and then repeat them. One question that you can think of is, where is God calling you that you might not want to go? 2, what does it mean that in your baptism, God has called you into his work in the world? 3, how will you spread God's light in this world because you know the light of Christ in your life? And 4, how will you let God's light shine in your darkness? And maybe that should be 1, because we have to accept our grace, God's grace for ourselves before we can share it with others. So I'll repeat those again. Where is God calling you that you might not want to go? What does it mean that in your baptism, God calls you into his work? How will you spread God's light in this world because you know the light of Christ? And how will you let God's light shine in your darkness? So I'm just going to give you a little bit of time to think and pray about that. God calls us to do hard things, but we do not go alone. Our homes, our identities, our lives change greatly throughout our lives as we do this work for God. Even our names can change. But one thing that never changes is the name that we receive in baptism, Child of God. God takes us as his own children and promises to be with us throughout our lives. Just being baptized isn't the end of the story. Our lives are spent living into that call and learning what it really means. You're going to hear a lot about Luther this year, as Pastor Paul said. And Luther said that in baptism, Christ's mission and work is to help us against sin and death, to justify and to bring life. He placed his help in baptism and in communion and incorporated it into God's word and into preaching. To our eyes, baptism appears to be nothing more than ordinary water In the sacrament, communion, Christ's body and blood appears to be simply bread and wine. And the sermon, hot air from a man's mouth. But Martin Luther says, but we must not trust what our eyes see. God is bigger than we know. And when we wonder where God is, we can always come to God's table and meet God in that bread and wine. And when we wash our hands or take a drink or take a shower, we can remember that God washes away our sins and gives us a new beginning, not just in the new year, but in every day. And that what we see with our eyes might not always make sense, but we can't just look with our eyes and only trust our eyes. We have to trust God too. I kind of love that this didn't really work out, Katie, because it really does show us that what we first think it doesn't work or we have failed or something, God is still working in us, and that God always has a new plan. In baptism, we know we can trust God, that he will be with us, that he will guide us, and we are his children forever. It's just a little water and a few words, but it can bring us hope throughout our lifetime. God is always with you, holding your hand. And I hope today, as you remember your baptism, that you'll feel God guiding you still. So take a moment now of prayer to feel God's presence and to pray about what God might be calling you to do in this world right now. Amen.